for joining us for tonight's comic book club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Emma Feller!
I'm Pete, and that's our man, Ruth Booth Grant.
It looks like the show's lost a little weight.
Yeah, right?
Like the show is slim.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Ready for summer.
It's more healthy, slimmed down, yes. Streamlined, ready to go.
Justin, our third co-host, is not here today because he was busy.
He has a hard time remembering it's every Tuesday.
Yeah, we've only done it for
five years at this point.
I barely remember. Anyway, I have a story to tell you.
Oh, wow.
I guess maybe the audience, since they're sitting here, I guess. But I don't know if you know, I have a baby.
What?
A baby?
Just happened a year and a half
ago. Wait, is this like a multiverse baby, or is this like your actual baby?
What is a multiverse baby?
Well, like in another universe, you have a baby.
Like an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Not like I have an infinite number of babies.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which, that's a lot of formula. No, this is the past year and a half I've had a baby.
Oh, wow.
That's all I wanted to say. But the thing that's applicable to the show, so I have a Flash action figure that sits on my desk while I'm working. And the other day, Patty, my daughter, and I were playing, and she ran up and she pointed to the Flash and was like, blah, 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 and just, you know, babbling about whatever. And so I handed it to her just so she could play with it, and I said, hey, Penny, what does the Flash do? And she said, run, run, and then ran as fast as she could.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, not only that, we were listening to a soundtrack radio station. The Superman theme came on the radio at that moment, so we flew around the apartment.
Oh.
And then, immediately after that, I beat her up and I stuffed her in a locker.
Yeah. She's got the full geek experience.
Right? Yeah. She is ready. And then she's like, let me tell you why Green Lantern sucks. They grow up fast, guys. Speaking of growing up fast, I'm very excited about the guest we're having back on the show. He's the author of How to Lose Your Frigidity, which is very applicable to this show. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Winkler!
Terrifying.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a very multiverse entrance.
Don't support him on that one. Do not support him on that one. Sean, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Very excited
to have you here. So, briefly, because we talked about it, 3 years ago? And I'm sure everybody remembers.
Yeah.
But the book that you wrote is called How to Lose Your Virginity.
Correct.
And it has a new cover now.
Yeah.
Sexier cover.
Oh, goodbye.
Which I'll show the audience, and then people listening at home can look it up there.
I'd like to see.
Is that the actual girl you lost your virginity to?
No, that's my girlfriend. Who was nice enough to pose for the photo.
Hello. Excellent. That must have been a fun photo shoot.
Yeah, we had a blast.
What are you intimating?
No, I'm just saying that, like, normally if you're at a
very professional
photo shoot,
absolutely,
you know,
stuff happens.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying normally it's awkward at a photo shoot, you know, with somebody you don't know or whatever, but, like, because it's your girlfriend, maybe it's more fun.
Ethan, make you undress in front of the camera.
We actually did a photo shoot for Comic Book Club 5 years ago, and things got weird.
Yeah.
So tell us about How to Lose Your Virginity. What's the idea of the book?
Well, basically, I traveled around the country. I interviewed 1,000 people about how they lost their virginity, and then I took the most interesting stories, and that collection is what is being passed around the audience now.
Awesome. And where can people pick up the book?
It's on Amazon and paperback and in the Kindle, and you can go to lossofvirginitybook.com to get all the appropriate links.
Nice. Now, we were talking about this a little bit backstage, more apropos of the comics thing. There's a time when you did not lose your virginity.
That's true.
This is the only time you did not lose your virginity. Could you tell us the story about that?
Well, this is sort of an instance of when comic books could have gotten me hooked up, but I just didn't let it. But when I was in high school, my mom ran into a friend of hers that she hadn't seen in years. So she packed me up, and we went over to this lady's place, and she had a...
Packed you up?
Yeah.
Just sort of like...
Picked me up. I was just like a sophomore, I think.
In high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was very little.
Okay.
So this one friend of hers had a daughter who was a senior in high school. We kind of hit it off because we both read comic books. And
nice.
We
were that reads comic books?
That's right, yeah. So I thought I had an in.
Right.
And right. So she was like, are you into ElfQuest? And I was like, I hadn't even heard of ElfQuest. So she pulled out this huge stack, and we started reading it. And I was like, I think this girl's too nerdy for me. I'm not.
Yeah. ElfQuest is code for doing it.
I did not learn that until college, unfortunately.
Yeah, Pete totally got ElfQuested last night.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Was it awkward, Pete?
Yes, it was.
Hmm. Pete, is there ever a time when you used comics to hook up?
Oh, never. I don't know if that's ever worked.
I think it works.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
Probably for some people.
Not like
going back now, would you have done things differently? Would you have been like, yeah, ElfQuest is cool.
ElfQuest is hot.
Once you get Mojo, I guess going back in time, it would have been fun to, you know, inject some of that mojo in
the young Sean.
Yeah. In an instance where I had none. So I might have tried to put on some moves, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Hey. All right, so here's what we do on the stack. We have made a couple of picks, comic books that we particularly liked that came out this week, and we're each going to go to bat for them. Because Justin isn't here, we each made two picks. Right, Pete?
Yeah.
Nice. There we go. All right, we're going to kick it off with one of my picks, if that's all right with you, Pete.
Sure.
Is that okay? Okay, we're going to kick it off with Thunderbolts, number 159.
I like it.
Thank you. There you go. So the idea of this issue of Thunderbolts, and first of all, I've been really enjoying the series overall. There's been a lot of different iterations of Thunderbolts through the years. Here we have supervillains that are in a prison called The Raft, and they're given a chance to go out on missions, and basically, for some of them, just to get outside. For others, to shorten their sentence a little bit and go on heroic missions. And it's this, you know, essential conflict of, are they going to turn out to be good? Are they going to keep being evil? It doesn't have any easy answers. It's not people who are like, we're secretly heroes inside. Some of them are just straight up dicks. But here, the raft has been destroyed.
Thank you.
And so we're getting a couple of different looks, a couple of different short stories about what happens when that happens, who steps up to the plate and who doesn't. And I thought this was great. I love the series overall. This was even better than usual in this double-sized issue.
Wow.
Really exciting. What did you think about
it? Now, when you say it like that, it sounds great. Well, the problem is I actually read it.
Okay.
And I thought the idea of the story was like three crappy stories and a good one. You know, like, it was like...
Which one did you like?
The last one.
Which was about?
Crossbones, lichen pie. I mean, who doesn't like pie? I don't care if you're evil.
When you put it like that, it doesn't sound interesting.
I know.
That last story.
Yeah.
It was a prison, and then it, like, crumbled down, and we never knew why, and then they were running around, like, let's try to escape. I don't know, man. I didn't fall in love with the story like you did.
Yeah.
I was a little confused, and then I was like...
Well, for those of you who didn't read it, this is part of the Fear Itself event that's going on in Marvel right now, so it's not necessarily standalone, but one of the giant, evil, mystical hammers that have been falling on Earth fell on the prison, wrecked the prison, so it's letting all these supervillains go loose, while the rest of these slightly more good supervillains are trying to...
Do we know whose hammer it was?
Yeah, it was the hammer that went to the Juggernaut.
Oh, right, yeah. Because that was the first... Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like it more now?
Slowly piece.
Also, all of the stories were secretly about pie.
Oh. I missed that.
All right. Sean, what did you think of this?
I actually did not get to this one. I somehow lost this one in the shuffle.
Thanks for showing up. All right, let's move on and talk about one of Pete's pick, which was Batman Gates of Gotham. Number two. Pete, you want to talk about this book a little bit?
Yeah, this is kind of a fun Batman throwback, if you will, because it deals with some of the people who helped to make Gotham, some of the architects on Gotham. And we find out, like, somebody's committing all these crimes, and it goes back to the originators of Gotham, and Batman's got to find out kind of a little bit of a great detective story of who done it. And then there's a fun reveal at the end, which I thought was very well done.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil it.
Sure. I also really like this book. I think Scott Snyder is doing a great job with the bad books. Delving into the history of Gotham City is always weird and interesting, I think. And he does a great job here of contrasting the stories in the past and the present. One thing I was thinking about while I was reading this book, though, is they're talking about the founding fathers of Gotham are all these rich people. There are the Waynes, who are Bruce Wayne's parents. There's the Elliots, who are Tommy Elliot, who's Hush, one of Bruce Wayne's, one of Batman's greatest enemies, his parents. There's the Cobblepots, who's Penguin's parents. And I just started thinking about how, like, all these rich kids are basically buying toys and destroying the city. And at some point, there should be some poor superhero or just middle-class superhero that's like, I'm going to fucking kill you guys. Stop it. Stop wrecking our city. So that's my idea. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you think about this book, Sean?
I really enjoyed it. However, there's one part in the middle where I came to this Justice League subway sandwich commercial comic book, which got me confused because at one point I didn't know if it was still going on. But once I got past that, I enjoyed the actual story.
You got a little confused with the subway sandwich.
The comic book within the comic book.
Yeah, well, it's a little confusing because one of the founding fathers of Gotham is Senor Subway Sandwich.
Nice. Yeah. That's a keeper.
Good. Boothman, can we rewind that and take that again? Cool. All right, let's move on with another one of my picks, which was Mystery Men, number 2 from Marvel Comics. This is another little bit of a throwback. We're having a bunch of throwback stuff going on here. The idea here is that the Marvel Universe, I'm going to get the dates totally wrong, but essentially the Marvel Universe started in about the 40s or 50s, right? Because that's when the comics started coming out. This rewinds it about a decade and introduces some new characters into Marvel Universe continuity in the 1930s, pre-World War II. And it's written by David Liss, who's currently writing Black Panther, and I'm blanking on the name of the guy who does the art, but...
Patrick or Andy?
Patrick Zurcher and Andy Troy, yeah. It's actually really reminiscent. It's like a mix between Dennis Calero's art and John Cassaday's art, with That's some of the best features of both. It's great. So that alone would be good, but the story is really well-textured and layered with great characters that I'm really excited to read more about. What did you guys think?
Well, first, let me just say that I agree with you. I think the art is great. I really like the writing. The problem I have is a little bit with the design of the outfits for the characters.
Okay.
It's...
the costume design?
Yeah, the costume design, because it's like low-rent heroes a little bit, and it really pulls me out of the story all the time. I don't know why I feel that way, because it's old-timey and it's supposed to be kind of throwback, which I understand, but at the same time, it's like that weird flappy hood is distracting, and the...
It's unrealistic because they're wearing clothes instead of tight spandex.
No, it's just like, it's like half... Like, they're just trying so hard to keep close from the time period, and then also, like, ski masks? They didn't have ski masks back then. Like, why was that... It's like a top, like a guy's wearing a nice hat and then like a part of a ski mask. And
well,
like,
ninjas were out before the 20s, right, and they had a kind of a ski mask looking thing.
To be fair, he does keep checking his iPod, which is a little weird. What did you think about this book, Sean?
It took me a while to get into it. I have to say that there's a part of me that didn't like how these two main heroes didn't get along in a way. Which is like, we've seen that before. But I got into it towards the end, And I kind of like how... This is kind of a reveal, but one of the dudes is sort of like a Broadway stagehand kind of guy, which I think gives a good background for a hero-ish dude.
Yeah.
Broadway stagehand.
Like a magician kind of guy. I liked it.
I like the fact they've clearly spent a lot of time coming up with these characters. I feel often when you introduce new characters into past continuity, it's like... This character, the Revenant, is an African-American guy who was accused of committing a crime against a white girl that he clearly did not commit. Most stories would leave it at that, but like you're saying, he's also a Broadway stagehand, so he brings a bit of theatrical flair into it, and he has a bunch of other connections to all of the characters and other things going on that make them very deep and complex and interesting. I'm really enjoying the series. Last but not least, potentially, let's talk about Ghostface.
Yeah!
rapper?
Nope.
Yeah.
That's what literally everybody has asked about this book so far.
Rapper?
Nope. Pete, talk about this book.
So, all right. First of all, this is amazing because it is an island of people who only fight. All they do is fight each other nonstop. And it's just kind of like hitting the mountain constantly.
It's called Manhattan. Can we rewind that one, too?
Yeah,
just cut it out later.
I love an all-action kind of book sometimes. But this just does a fun job. Yeah, sometimes. All right, busted. But I also like Tokyo Pop named this book, and sometimes in comic book art, you know, the action pages can get kind of like we get it, it's always the guy punching the face react. But because this is kind of an anime style a little bit, the action is very creative and artistic and really just makes the fight sequences that much more exciting. So I couldn't get enough of this book.
Cool.
I can't wait to buy the next one.
Is there going to be a next one?
Oh, yeah, there is.
They put volume one on it, so I'm guessing there'll be a volume.
Well, but they put volume one with a hopeful question mark after. So that's weird. Did you get a chance to flip through this?
I flipped through it. It's rather bulky, so I did not read a lot of it, but the art looks good.
Yeah.
And the premise is great.
There you go.
An island of people who fight.
Yeah.
If you could choose one island to fight people on, what island would you choose?
I feel like Australia is an easy choice.
Yeah. That's an easy choice, Peter.
Yeah.
As kind of a lazy person, I would pick maybe what's the smallest island that I could so I wouldn't have to walk a great distance to fight Mike.
Like an island the size of this table, so it would be like one guy.
Great.
Yeah. Or Rhode Island.
Yeah, one hit and it's done.
Rhode Island's slightly bigger than this table.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Cool, that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Booth May.
Booth May!
America.
Praise America.
Praise America.
In case he's never been here before, he lives in the booth.
And in America.
That's why his dress is like that.
Well, the booth is kind of its own island.
Yeah, do you want to fight? Come to the booth. I'm always ready. I wish. What do we got? DC Comics oversaturation of Flashpoint will result in massive decline in sales? I love how that's written.
Putting a question mark at the end of something doesn't necessarily make it a question.
English too.
Well, what do you guys think? Are all the Flashpoint series that are currently coming out going to dilute each other?
I have a feeling they are, but they do say that, you know, through research that number one sell better. So I feel like this will really push that question. Will the number ones really sell?
Oh, you're talking about the DC relaunch.
Oh, I thought... Oh, no.
Yeah, are you talking about the DC relaunch or Flashpoint?
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. Okay.
Sorry.
No, I think your point totally still holds.
Okay.
That they're trying to release all these miniseries to get literally anybody. Like, hey, you're interested in Lois Lane? Here's a story about Lois Lane. You want to know more about Superman, but he's not Superman? Here's Superman. Hey, you want somebody who's a giant cricket in England? There you go. They have a series that's about a giant cricket in England. And I'll say I'm pretty interested.
Do you know what it's called?
The Canterbury Cricket.
They couldn't make that more English if they
did. Any thoughts?
I did see that there's a list in one of these of all the Flashpoint issues, and it looked a little too much for me. So, yes, is the answer to your question.
Yeah, it is probably a little bit too much, but we won't know sales figures for a little while. So, hey, maybe they'll get super lucky.
Hey.
Was that your negative?
All right.
All right, yeah. Free comics for you. Let's get the next question.
Can I trade those for
Nope.
Gee, nope. You take what you get. What's up with the Normal Man movie?
Normal Man?
I didn't write this question.
It's going great.
Pete?
Do you know what the Normal Man movie is?
Nope. Are you guys stumped?
We're stumped.
Wow.
The Aardvark Vanheim was a series about a guy who had no powers, but everyone else did. It was a parody book.
Oh. And there's a movie coming out?
So yeah. That's what I'm asking you guys.
We really dropped the ball.
They're stuck in recasting at the moment.
Yeah.
Is my assessment of the...
There was a really good webisode series on Channel 101 called the Adventures of Stan or whatever, and the setup was everyone had powers except for him. And it was really awesome.
That's a ripoff. It's a ripoff.
Yeah,
Normal
so the
Man,
answer is that it was made into
a web series.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you should check that out. Adventures of Stan.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, raise your hand if you ask that, though we know who we are. Free comics for you. Let's get the next question.
How are WB going to screw up the new Superman movie?
Oh Jesus.
There's going to be a Green Lantern cameo.
Well, what do you guys think? Are you looking forward to the new Superman movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be good. There's going to be, I mean, if Christopher Nolan is involved, I think it'll be all right.
I don't know. I mean, I was pretty upset about the last Superman movie, so I'm not excited to see it, but I'll see
it. Was great. He lifted progressively bigger things over the course of the movie.
That's what he does.
And in 3D.
Yeah.
Lifting things in 3D?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many unknown factors at this point about the movie.
There has been much leaked about it, so this is tough to...
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're right with Christopher Nolan producing, at least, and Zack Snyder.
And there's going to be a cool... Zod, I think, is a cool villain.
Yeah.
At the very least, it doesn't seem necessarily to be movie-making by committee quite to the extent that Green Lantern was. So if that's getting to the core of what your question is, for better or for worse, I think it's going to be Christopher Nolan kind of directing Zack Snyder's vision.
Cool.
So there you go. Raise your hand if you asked that. Free comics for you. Let's get the last question.
Who is the best dancer in comics?
Wow.
I saved this one for last.
Oh, boy.
Dazzler?
I was thinking the same thing.
Wow.
You would know. Is she?
Yes.
Or is it the Hulk?
The Hulk's the best dancer in comics. That's right.
No, Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, yeah. Hulk's
right,
pretty
Pete?
Bad.
That was horrible. I can't believe you made that.
So I think pretty definitively Bruce Banner is the best dancer in the Marvel.
In canon.
Hulk.
That's in canon.
Hypno Hustler.
What?
Hypno Hustler.
Nice.
Oh, Hypno Hustler's pretty good. I feel like, what was the series
I'm
going to
change my answer. Moon Knight.
I love how that's funny and I don't know why.
Awesome. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman. Guys, we are ripping through this. I got to get out of here by 9 o'clock. I have tickets to see Transformers, so let's keep going.
Are you really going to see?
Not at 9 o'clock.
Oh. Yeah. Are you really going to see that movie?
We'll get to that in a second.
In the theater?
Yeah, we'll get to it in a second.
In a theater.
That's actually a great transition for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
First thing we're going to talk about, guys, at 9 o'clock tonight, Transformers Dark of the Moon comes out. How unexcited are you for that, Pete?
I'm super unexcited. Yeah, I haven't even seen the last one.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, there's this robot, and it stands on top of the Brooklyn Bridge, and it hits down the American flag because robots hate America.
I love how you said that like a president, like robots hate America.
Yeah, you got to put your finger like this. It's non-confrontational this way. Are you looking forward to the new Transformers movie?
Not really. I saw the first one, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh, you
and
guys.
I didn't see the second one. The first one, it was kind of funny. I went home to Cleveland, Ohio for a wedding, and then I met up with some friends Saturday night. We, got drunk. I fell asleep on somebody's couch. We woke up for brunch. Someone was like, let's go see Transformers. We were all excited. We were the only people in the theater, and it was the quietest audience that I've ever been in. Nobody laughed or anything.
Man, you guys had the opposite experience of what I did. Well, not exactly.
But that's tainted my...
I was the only person in the theater, but I was laughing up a storm. I actually unapologetically love the first movie just because it...
What?
Hits. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
When Optimus Prime is like, Megatron, and Megatron is like, Prime! Shat myself in the theater.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. Second one, robot testicles, was amazing.
Wow, I missed that.
So yeah. All you go to movies and you just want one little thing and you're like, worth it.
Yeah. How was seeing Punisher in the movie theaters three times, by the way?
Ah, damn you.
All right, we're going to move on. Next.
Sometimes it takes three times to realize, you know, how good a movie is. No.
Nope. Thomas Jane Punisher. Nice. All right, let's move on. There's a big
thing. Let me just finish that to the new guy here. Everybody else knows. But everybody knew at the time how much I like Punisher, so they were like, I really want to see the Punisher movie with you. So I had to keep going and seeing with different friends.
I had to. Yeah. You know, it's 45 minutes of that movie until he finds a skull t-shirt that's washed ashore, and he's like, maybe I should wear this. Good origin story.
The best way to get t-shirts, by the way. Just if you hang up on the shore and then one washes up.
Yeah. Is that where you got that t-shirt?
Yeah.
Cool. There's a fun tip for you guys. All right, we're going to move on. This is a big thing that came out. A big issue this week was Death of Ultimate Spider-Man came out from Marvel Comics. Here, I'll pass it over to you. Now, Pete, you were pretty upset about this.
Yeah, I just don't like when they kill off a character to sell comics to, you know. And also, reading it was very upsetting because I love the guy, Bagley does the art. I think he's a great artist, but the problem is his characters look so similar. I was like, why? I don't want to
say. Spoiler.
All right, so Spider-Man dies. but then it shows what's supposed to be the Green Goblin that he supposedly killed. But it looks exactly like Spider-Man. So I was like, is the reveal that Spider-Man was the Green Goblin in the Ultimate Universe? But it was just bad art. Yeah. So that was upsetting.
There you go. Sean, did you take a look at this?
Yeah, it was a quick, easy read. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's how you judge a book?
Yeah.
Hey, it was quick and easy.
Yeah, the big issue was a lot of people were pretty upset because, has been happening with a lot of big comic book stories. The ending was spoiled in the mainstream press the day before the issue. We actually talked about this a little bit on last week's show. In fact, they printed everything but the last page of the issue on the AP and in USA Today. Do you feel like that affected the reading experience at all for you?
No, I didn't. I knew that I purposely didn't look so I could read the whole book, fresh and clean.
I did have one problem with this.
Yeah.
There was one whole page where Gwen Stacy is trying to get Aunt May to run out of the yard where the fight is going by.
Yeah.
It's a whole page of, like, come with me. Like, I don't want to leave, but you have to run. Like, it was a whole page of it.
That's life, dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes ants are really hard to get going.
Yeah. On a whole, I don't think this issue was that bad. I was not crazy about that last page either. I think... You know, it's been very interesting watching the conversation that's been going on in terms of this. One thing I've been thinking about, I don't think the majority of comic book fans are spoiled the same way the minority of comic book fans are. And what I mean by that is I actually think there's a minority of comic book fans that find out this news that Spider-Man is dead and he was killed in such and such a way. They get super upset about it because they're spoiled, but the majority of people will wander into a store and be like, hey, what's going on? Oh, man, Spider-Man's dying? Well, I'll pick up that issue, and they just don't know about it. And this happens all the time. When I talk to people about storylines that I thought everybody knew about, they just have not heard about. They're not, and then they get interested and they buy it. So I actually think, even though as a constant comic book fan and as somebody who reads comics, I'm not a fan of having things spoiled for me. I think Marvel's plan does actually work. And this plan, for better or for worse, does get people interested and does get them buying the comics. The question then is, does it last in the long term?
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of that, Pete?
Well, I think you don't want to upset the people who are always buying your books. And I think that's a hard thing in comics. It's like keeping the regulars happy and then trying to get new people in. And me as a regular, I'm mad. You know, but I get mad often, so I don't know if I'm a typical.
As somebody who doesn't regularly read this, picking this up, does it make you interested to read the next issue? Honestly.
After he dies?
Yeah.
No.
There is another issue.
Oh, okay. Then, yes, I'm mildly intrigued.
Really? You would pick it up?
Yeah.
What would be your, like, to see what his world's like after he's dead, or to see if he comes back to life?
Yeah, to see if he comes back, or
yeah, if they keep him dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big question, comics. Like, how long will he be dead, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of, like, he's dead, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, it's in life, too. Like, my dog that I had as a teenager, they said he died, but I think he's going to come back. all right, we're going to move on to talk about another fanboy rage thing was Green Lantern, which had a huge drop in the box office in the second weekend. Went down 65.5%, which was bigger than the Hulk movie, which so far has been the high benchmark for superhero movies tanking in the second weekend.
The Ang Lee Hulk movie?
Yes. Okay. The second one actually did totally fine. Right. But regardless of all that, the WB has come out and said, yes, we're making a sequel. What do you think about that? Would you like to see a Green Lantern 2?
No.
I'm going to see one.
Yeah. Have you seen Green Lantern?
No, I mean, I heard enough bad things that I think I'm going to stay away, but I will see a second one, I guess, if it comes out.
Really?
Why not? If it's better.
See Transformers 2.
But I hated the first one.
Oh, all right.
So... I'll give
so
the
if
second
you don't one. See the first one and then the two comes out, you'll see that.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Now, what have you seen? Because you've seen a couple.
What have I seen?
Yeah, the comic movies.
Like in your life, what have you seen?
Superman?
No, but have you seen X-Men or...
Yeah. Thor? I've not seen the third one. No, I haven't seen Thor yet. I guess I'll wait until that comes out on Netflix.
Thor 2?
Yeah.
Thor 2.
No, I am interested in a Green Lantern movie, but I've heard so much bad things about the first one. I'm not interested in Ryan Reynolds at all. As a person in a movie or as a human being.
Oh.
So, the first one just doesn't look good. But if they make a second one, that obviously means that they think it's better than the first one.
Well, I think they have to make a second one. They spent so much time, like, setting up this world. The first one was such a much, like, setting up a whole universe instead of telling us a story.
I will say, with this and with them talking about a sequel, I'm getting flashbacks to Fantastic Four, where they felt like, we screwed up some things with the first movie, but we're going to learn lessons.
Which I've not seen the first one, but I have seen the second one.
Oh, what did you think of the second one?
It was not that great.
No. Really bad.
All right, cool. I think we're going to move on. This is another thing, another bit of casting news. We talked a little bit about Man of Steel, the new Superman movie already, but Christopher Maloney from Law & Order SVU is going to be some unspecified part in Man of Steel. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything. Superman does get raped. No, it's sad. It's like a serious...
I saw him do it in
Yeah, and he investigates, so that'll be nice. He's actually...
He gives and receives? What?
Yeah. Well, you've heard that joke, right? He's flying around, he's a little drunk, he sees Wonder Woman on
the...
That joke is awful.
Yes, it is.
Terrible situation. Don't want to talk about the aftermath of that joke. Christopher Maloney, excited to see
Pete. Not anymore.
Last but not least, a piece of casting news. We've been talking about the Powers TV series that is going to be made. One of the crucial parts, at least in the first arc of the series, is Retro Girl, who, spoiler, is killed because the first arc is called Who Killed Retro Girl. Retro Girl is going to be played by that girl from the T-Mobile commercials that rips off the Apple commercials.
Wait, the girl who's standing next to the guy rapping, and she's like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah? I haven't seen that one. I watch them religiously, don't get me wrong. But you looking forward to that, Pete?
Yeah, man. She is awesome in those T-Mobile commercials. Every time I see one, I'm like, I'm going to get T-Mobile. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's crappy service. And I don't.
Cool. Do you use T-Mobile, Sean?
I used to, but they arred me on text message fees, so I switched.
Sounds like...
Good for you.
Yeah.
Sounds like Powers is going to be no good. And that's it.
T-Mobile Supermaned my Invisible Man, if you will.
And that's definitely it for the Week of Geek. Guys, we're going to move on with trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
All right. Guys, this is part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. In the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, who would like $25 free? Yes, you, first hand up guy. Come on up. Today's trivia, how are you? What's your name?
Aiden.
Aiden, audience? Audience Aiden. Great. So this is going to be your gift card that you're going to win. How this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Today's trivia is on Captain America movie, which I'm going to go on record as saying I think it's going to be the best out of Green Lantern, Thor, and X-Men First Class.
Yeah. On record.
On record.
Jeez. That's binding.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Thanks. All right. Thank you, Boothman.
You're welcome.
Use the music. What do you think is going to be the most exciting part of this movie? Is it A, Tommy Lee Jones's cameo? B, Hugo Weaving as Red Skull? Or C, Chunky Monkey? Which we all know is a great ice cream flavor.
The best part of the movie?
The best part of the movie.
This is fact-based.
Yeah, fact-based.
Hugo Weaving.
Part of the movie? Is it going to be A, the little CG Steve Rogers, B, Bucky Barnes, or C, Beanie Babies? I think we all remember those sucking pretty hard.
They made a lot of money, though.
Yeah, they did. Just like the Captain America movie will.
The CG guy.
Question, don't get cocky. Here we go. What is Chris Evans' best work? Is it A, the Scott Pilgrim movie, B, Fantastic Four, or C, The Nanny Diaries?
Is this the director?
What? No, it's the actor who plays Captain America.
Oh.
So it's A, Scott Pilgrim, B, Fantastic Four, or I'll give you a C.
Scott Pilgrim.
You are correct, sir. You are correct. $25 free. We rubber band the receipt, so you know that it's legitimate.
All right. Yeah, unbelievable. Now, Pete, when did you forget what trivia means?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, and what am I going to do? Like, really talk about the movie? It hasn't come out yet.
In trivia, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, ask trivia questions?
Yeah, like, true or false.
That's ridiculous. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I would just like to, sometimes I like to defend our choice of sponsor. What I like most about Midtown is that, you know, if you get a number and then if you spend a certain amount of money, they give you $20 back. So I think that's a good reason.
Plus, nice, clean store with a great selection.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why we
consider them defended.
Good,
you guys.
So I would like to say Scalp number 50 is coming out, and I cannot wait. Amazing series. Jason Aaron's an amazing writer.
Yeah. What's coming up at Scalp 50? Tease us a little bit.
Oh, man. A lot of stuff going on. I'll tell you what. I don't want to give anything away.
Trivia.
There's going to be some killing. There's going to be some drug abuse. Yeah.
And where's the sex?
There might be some there's sex, too.
Because you're not
going to have a
virginity book.
Cool. All right. My pick is The Sixth Gun, number 12 by Colin Bunn, is coming out tomorrow.
Sixth Gun by Colin Bunn?
Yes. Dun-dun-dun. I don't know what that meant. Cool. Anyway, it's a supernatural western about these six mystic guns that, when brought together, can rewrite reality. So it's kind of insane, over the top. There's some amazing action in it. I read tomorrow's issue that's coming out. I had never read any of the the previous issues, was able to jump right in. It was kind of totally blown away. It's really cinematically paced. There's some great reveals throughout the book, and I think particularly you're like, what?
How'd you get it ahead of time?
Guy sent me a thing.
Oh, yeah, guy sent me a thing.
I got a hookup. I don't know.
Oh, you got a guy?
Yeah, I got a
couple guys.
I got a guy. He's this guy in the corner handing out PDFs. Anyway, great issue. Definitely recommend picking it up. I was kind of blown away how great it was because I had not heard anything about it. So I recommend that. And Sean, what are you looking forward to?
I saw a title that jumped out at me. It was Knights of the Round Dinner Table or Knights of the Dinner Table.
Yep.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, now this is issue 175 of Knights of the Dinner Table. What has happened up to this point, Sean?
Breakfast and lunch.
Yeah!
There you go. And Sean, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Yeah.
Well, I'm in an improv group with this beautiful man right over here, Peter Page. Wednesday nights upstairs, Whiskey Rebellion, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, there you go.
And then you could read the How to Lose Your Virginity and How Not To from lostofvirginitybook.com. The Kindle version last week was one of the top 100 sex e-books.
Whoa!
Yeah.
What was number one?
I think it was something about masturbating or one of those instructional books. Yeah,
that's the title of it. Something about masturbating.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Next week, our guest is going to be Teal James Glenn. You want to
TJ Glenn?
TJ Glenn. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, he's a stuntman, and he also does a lot of sword fighting. He also wrote a couple sci-fi books that he's been trying to pitch some comic book stuff. But I got him on the show because he's going to fight Justin.
Ooh! Yeah!
If he shows up.
Yeah, if he shows up, yeah. But it'll be punishment for missing shows. So. He always calls himself Justin. That is a classically trained actor, so we'll see how good he is.
That's what? Getting beaten up?
Yeah, fighting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like acting, right?
Yeah, nice. Now, is he going to be bringing swords to the show?
If we want him to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. He also asked me if he should dress like a particular, one of his heroes or villains from the movies. And I was like, yeah, they should.
This is going to be a little crazy.
Excited.
All right, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Sean for being on the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank Booth Man. But most of all, we'd like to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.